Rachel Martin, thank you so much for joining me today on Worldviews.
Very happy to be here, Rebecca.
Well, I thought we'd start with talking a little bit about your past history of reporting. You started off with religious issues and then moved on to be the national security correspondent for NPR. Was there anything about covering religious issues that prepared you for security issues? Or is there an area where the two intersected, or were they completely different?
That is a very interesting question. I don't know if there are natural parallels. I mean, they're actually very different in a couple of ways. I have often said that covering religion was a fascinating beat because you're talking about the issues that people hold most dear, that are most intimate, that are most important to them in many ways. And I just felt like sometimes all I had to do was brandish a microphone, and all of a sudden I was involved in a very intimate, personal conversation with someone about their values and beliefs. That is the opposite in many ways of covering national security, especially on the intelligence side, when you're often dealing with anonymous sources. You often don't even have a microphone with you because everything has to be done confidentially, because oftentimes people don't go on the record. And of course, they are most of the time not interested in telling their story or in making their views known. So it's a much more arduous process in some ways.
Well, one of the issues that you have reported a great deal on is the changing structure of the U.S. military, the elimination of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the recent decision to allow women into combat areas. Does this reflect a changing culture in your position within the military? And can you envision perhaps a larger change in the military, be it internally or perhaps even externally, in how the military engages internationally?
Well, I don't think it's going to change the way the U.S. military conducts itself. This is, though, a really significant change, one that has been in the offing now for a few years. Obviously, the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a huge watershed moment for the U.S. military. U.S. military officials I've spoken with very recently have said that that has happened with relatively little blowback, that has been a relatively smooth transition. What is perhaps more difficult is the decision to officially allow women to take part in combat jobs. This has, of course, been happening around conflict zones already, in war zones, in Afghanistan, in Iraq. Women have been serving in positions where they have come into contact. They have come under fire. They have been in combat situations. The problem was they weren't officially allowed to be there. So the change in policy recognizes the reality on the ground. But the change in policy also will afford women the opportunity to compete for top-level spots in very elite military units. We're talking about Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Delta Force. This is where the tension still exists, because the debate right now is whether or not you lower standards in order to make it possible, physical standards mostly, make it possible for women to secure positions in those elite units. And that's something the military is really still grappling with. Military commanders insist that they're not going to lower standards. It won't affect how the U.S. military conducts itself and its readiness. But culturally, this is a very big change, and it still has yet to be seen how the military is going to roll this out.
So we'll certainly need to continue to keep an eye on that. Another change or something that's been in the news of late is the issue of drones. Can you maybe talk a little bit about this issue and the controversy that seems to be brewing?
Well, the Obama administration has only recently admitted that they've been using this kind of warfare, drone warfare, or the use of unmanned aerial vehicles to launch attacks against insurgents, members of Al-Qaeda and affiliated networks. So really, the issue is often about transparency. And there are numerous questions about civilian casualties. Those numbers are very hard to get because oftentimes these strikes are happening in remote parts of Pakistan or Yemen, where there are no Western reporters. There are hardly any reporters at all. And verifying civilian deaths is virtually impossible. So the program has been incredibly controversial. At the same time, administration officials will say it has also been incredibly effective in taking out key leaders of Al-Qaeda and affiliated terrorist networks. And so, you know, this is something that we're obviously going to see moving forward. The Obama administration has been far more forward-leaning with the use of this technology than even the Bush administration before it. So in his second term, it will be interesting to see how the war and al-Qaeda moves forward and what is the future of this particular technology as we think about how our allies, but also countries that are not so friendly with the United States, appropriate this technology for their own uses.
Well, and the other thing you mentioned, of course, was the situations with Iraq and Afghanistan. We are drawing out of Afghanistan in the next year and a half. That is the pledge, at least. And you actually had the opportunity to do some reporting from both of those areas. I wondered, as a female and as a Westerner, were there any challenges that you faced as a reporter there?
Well, you know, I've talked a lot about this. I think there are benefits and there are drawbacks. In my reporting experience in Afghanistan is a lot deeper than my experience in Iraq. I was in Baghdad and in Ramadi in Anbar province in Iraq in 2007. But I was mostly traveling as an embedded reporter with the U.S. military. In Afghanistan, when I first started reporting from there in 2003, I was operating on my own as a freelancer and then as a reporter for NPR. And I was not embedded with the U.S. military. I was just kind of operating on my own. And, you know, sometimes my gender forced me out of certain situations, made it more difficult for me to have conversations with Afghan tribal elders. And then, you know, in other situations, it was completely the opposite. It was actually to my benefit. And sometimes it was because I just wasn't seen as a threat. In some ways it was, there's a woman here, how harmful can she be? Let's just let her in. And so I could kind of, you know, sit along a back wall and observe. And so my gender was both a challenge and it provided some opportunities, I think, at the same time.
Yeah, that's interesting. What were some of the lessons you think from a national security point of view that we have hopefully learned from our involvement in Iraq and in Afghanistan as we kind of end our involvement there?
Well, that's a very complicated question.
Sure.
I think that on the whole, administration officials I speak with and national security officials agree that there is very little appetite now for a new ground war. We've just endured more than a decade fighting two very complicated, complex, intense ground wars.
Perhaps the reason why we're now are supporting drone warfare.
In a way, that is definitely a benefit of the technology, but it's becomes a much more complicated conversation when you're talking about the targets involved in drone warfare and the rules of war. That's probably something we probably shouldn't delve too far into in this conversation. But, you know, I think that the U.S. military officials right now are obviously facing severe budget cuts, and they are trying to think about how to reduce the force, what to do with the tens of thousands of soldiers, Marines, airmen, troops that are coming home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. At the same time, stay prepared for whatever might happen. Forced to reduce their troops, but at the same time, the U.S. military has to be prepared to meet the threat that's out there. And so that's the challenge right now.
Well, so much interesting information, and unfortunately, we are getting close on time. So I just want to thank you once again for your input, and thank you for agreeing to join us today.
Sure, Rebecca. It was my pleasure.